Welcome to our service of Holy Communion from the Book of Common Prayer from St. Margaret's in Chipstead. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee, and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself, and so bring us at last to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is taken from the Book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 to 34. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realised that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept our practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, Don't harm yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And then immediately he and all of his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4, verses 19 to 24. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We say the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
For today's notices, please check out the appropriate section of the website.
The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4, verse 24. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. In our reading, the Samaritan woman is reminding Jesus of the difference between her worship of God and his. They worship the same God, but they worship in different places. That seems to her to be a really important difference. She says, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. She's referring to a text that they both knew well. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 12. God tells Moses that when the Israelites come to the promised land, they must worship him in just one place. He says, you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and your special gifts. The Samaritans thought that the place that God has chosen was Mount Gerizim. The Jews thought it was Jerusalem. That seemed to her to be a really important difference between her religion, the religion of Jews like Jesus. Well, the question we might address today about ourselves is whether it really matters at all to us where we worship God. Is one place really just as holy as any other? There are many religions who believe that there are special places where heaven and earth come close together. Sometimes they're called thin places, because the wall that divides us from whatever it is that we worship is not as thick there as it is everywhere else. so that the ground itself is holy. In the Old Testament, it's always recognised that God is not confined to just one place, but it's also clear that the temple at Jerusalem had a very important part to play in the relationship of God with the chosen people. This is how King Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem from the first book of Kings. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, Lord my God. May your eyes be open towards this temple night and day, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place. And it felt that their relationship with God was very seriously damaged when the temple was destroyed and the Israelites were sent in exile to Babylon. Some words from Psalm 127. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us to sing, our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? We might ask the same question today. Can we sing songs or hymns of worship more readily in one place than in the other? We don't have the temple now, but we do have church buildings which play an important part in the religious practice of most Christian congregations. We all know, I'm sure, that God is everywhere, in heaven and on earth. It's all the same. Most of us find that he seems more accessible to us in the places specially dedicated to his presence. Now, this is evident if we put two hymns side by side. The first is number 471 in the Green Books, the New English Hymnal. It goes like this. We love the place, O God, wherein thine honour dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joys excels. We love the house of prayer, wherein thy servants meet, and O thou Lord art there, thy chosen flock to greet. So contrast that with number 390 in the same Green Book. Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. For thou within no walls confined inhabitest the humble mind. Such ever bring thee where they come, and going take thee to their home. So there we have two really contrasting hymns. I would actually be happy to sing either of them. The importance of place in our worship will have been brought home to us, many of us, in the last year and a half. The pandemic has given us the opportunity to compare the experience of worshipping God in church with the experience of worshipping God electronically in our own homes. The words and music may be the same, but even so, the experience is actually very different. Some of you will be hearing this service now live, whilst others will be listening to a recording. No wonder which will benefit most. Online worship does have its advantages. You can download the service and listen at a convenient time. You may, for example, be able to get up a little later on a Sunday morning. You can listen to all or part of the service more than once, if you find that helpful. You can also fast forward through the parts of the service you find tedious or unhelpful, hymns or songs that you don't like, perhaps even this very sermon itself. So it puts you more in control of the worship experience, you might say. It may also help you to recognise that God is everywhere, not least in your own home. On the other hand, worshipping at home, you run the risk of interruptions and distractions. The children may start crying, the doorbell may ring. And you'll miss the architecture of a church building. You'll also miss the atmosphere of holiness that fills a consecrated building, especially an ancient building like St. Margaret's. There's such a powerful sense of community and fellowship with the multitudes of Christians past and present, when you actually meet together in one place to worship our God, to reinforce and express our common faith. During the pandemic, whilst most church buildings have been closed, many of us will have felt a very real sense of exile and deprivation. So does it really matter where we worship God? There seems to be a difference between the importance that's attached to places of worship in the Old Testament and in the New. Well, in the New Testament, it is true that Jesus was taken to the temple as a small baby, and again at the age of 12. It's true that he was deeply shocked when he saw the temple misused as a place of commerce or sharp practice. Yet visiting the temple did not have an essential part to play in his relationship with his Father in heaven. He prayed to his Father also in the synagogue, and even in the open air, from Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. One of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left standing on another. Every one will be thrown down." By the time most of the New Testament was written down, this prophecy had been fulfilled. The temple in Jerusalem had been razed to the ground, destroyed by the Romans. But it did not matter too much to the members of the early church. It meant that they couldn't go on worshipping in the temple courts, but they could still meet in their own homes instead. Jesus himself has now taken the place of the temple. He is the channel through which we can communicate with God in heaven. When we look to him, our prayers will be heard, just as Solomon had asked that prayers said in the direction of the temple would never go unanswered. When the Jewish leaders asked Jesus to demonstrate his authority, he replied like this, some words from John's Gospel, chapter 2. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will build it again in 3 days." They replied, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple. Are you going to raise it again in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. And on another occasion, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I tell you that one greater than the temple is here." At the very end of the New Testament, there is a vision of the New Jerusalem at the end of time, when heaven and earth come together and God's will is done. Then there is no need of a temple, as it says, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." It's not surprising then that Jesus doesn't get drawn into a controversy with the Samaritan woman about where is the right place for the temple to be. It doesn't matter. Now that he, God's Son, has come in person, temple worship is redundant. Let's finish by looking again at our reading today. Jesus says, "Believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. The time is coming, and has indeed now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For that is the kind of worshipper the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The Spirit of truth is the Spirit through which the Son of God became man, the Spirit that has come down from heaven when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit that filled the church at Pentecost. Where we worship doesn't matter, but what does matter is through whom and in whom we worship. Jesus himself has taken the place of the temple. We must worship in his name and in his Spirit. Then we will be true worshippers and our praise will be the worship that is sought by God. True worship doesn't depend on place, on a holy land, on holy ground, or a holy building. It depends rather on what we have in our own minds and in our hearts. It is in Christ that heaven and earth come close together. It is in Christ that the walls that divide us from God become thin. Over the entrance to St. Margaret's Church, there are some words from Psalm 84 in Latin, claiming that this is the temple of the Lord. But that claim will only be justified if we enter the building to worship God in the spirit and truth of Jesus Christ. May that be our worship this morning, whether we are on site or online. We ask God to receive our prayers for the sake of his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Whosoever hath this world's good and sees his brother hath need and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If as part of your discipleship you wish to make a gift to the work of the church, this is also available on the website. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-loving God, who by thy holy apostle hast taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes and governors, especially thy servant Elizabeth, our Queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council, and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests and deacons, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace, so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Ye that do earnestly and repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God,
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we, from time to time, most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We do not presume to come to this thy table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us.
Amen.
Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thy only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself, once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these, thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart by faith, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all thy faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end.
Amen.
Glory be to God on high,
and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.